Joining us in studio right now, very excited about this. This is the Money Report, right? So we talk about how to invest your money, how to spend your money, and usually we've got Ron Looper from Gold Capital in studio with us. But today we've invited in Adam from The Watch Channel. Hello, how are you?
Good and you, Kathy?
Very, very well. Love to talk about watches and stories and all. Yeah, we're gonna get there, right?
Of course.
You've got amazing stories about watches. And Jay from the Diamond Channel. Hello.
Absolutely. Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Jay, yes. We are running a competition where our listeners can win a 20,000 rand diamond.
That's fantastic. Yes.
Yes. Oh, sorry. It's the other way around. Adam is from the Diamond Channel and Jay is from the Watch Channel.
We're quite elusive.
Got it. Let's swap around like that. Okay, so so maybe you can help us with some clues.
So I think that is a good idea. Okay. Because I've seen a lot of people seem to be lost in the dark on this one, because there's quite a lot involved, actually, you know, right, in terms of pricing up a diamond.
Right, so we've got the price, which is a 20,000 rand diamond. Ron Looper gave us a spectrum, but what does that all mean?
Because basically there's four characteristics that determine a price of a stone.
Yeah.
To be honest, pretty much only three of them. And it's obviously the size, the color, and the clarity of the stone.
Right.
Obviously shape as well is going to play a role. But if we just keep that off the table for now, because your rounds are always more expensive, actually, surprisingly, than any other fancy shape, which most people didn't
really
know.
Even like the princess cut and all of those.
It can be a princess, a cushion, a pair. Those are actually all priced on a fancies list, which is a completely different pricing chart. And your rounds are your most expensive by about 20 to 30%, surprisingly.
Sure, who knew?
And that's based on how the stones are actually cut and what goes into them. And a lot more goes into cutting your round brilliant, which it has 58 facets in the stone. And cutters make more money, and that's why you tend to find a lot more of them as well.
Okay, so Ron has given us, now this is where I need you to translate.
Yes.
Okay, so Ron has given us, the shape of this 20,000 rand diamond is a round brilliant cut. The size is 0.4 carat to 0.59 carat. So it's somewhere between the two.
Yes.
Okay, I think that's kind of self-explanatory, right? That's
yes.
The size. The color is between I and L. So is I whiter or is L whiter? Which way does the scale go?
So in a color chart, it goes from D all the way to U. And that's in terms of the whiteness of the
stone. What happened to A, B, and C?
No idea. D
no
for diamond, that's what we're going with. So we're going to have to start from D. So D, F are actually your blue-white range. So that's your Rolls-Royce section, basically. And GH is top commercial white, so slightly whiter than white. So R's actually always used as your marker as a white diamond because there's no yellow hue or anything within the stone. And then it slowly creeps down, J being top silver, K being silver, and L being tinted white. So that's when the tint starts to come through within the stone. And that's a slight hue of yellow that comes through.
And out of that range, which is the most valuable?
Well, D will be your most expensive all the way down. So in that instance of R to L, R will be your most expensive out of those if you're comparing exact spec for spec.
Okay. And then the clarity that Ron gave us for this diamond competition is VBS2 to SI2.
Okay.
What does that mean?
So clarity, now a lot of people when they look at a diamond, they'll say to you, no, the clarity of that diamond's amazing. And that's rubbish. Basically, clarity.
Thanks, Adam Wolf.
Clarity is basically what you can't see. So you're paying for what you can't see within a stone. So it goes from eternally flawless, which are your typical investment stones, which are an absolute waste of money to put into jewelry. You just don't use that sort of caliber.
So what would you do with them? You just keep them in a safe?
Stash them in a safe and one day buy a yacht for your kids. That's pretty much the thing
really?
To do
that,
with those sort
really
of stones.
Is that really how it works?
Yeah, that's... You don't really want to use pieces like that in jewelry because you're overpaying for the invisible side of diamonds.
Okay.
Then you'll have VVS1, which is very, very slightly included. VVS2, so just a little bit more included. And then obviously VS1, VS2, which is very slightly. And then SR1, SR2, which is slightly included, that Ron was talking about there. And then you'll also get R1, R2, and R3, which is included. And that section is where you sit with the naked eye. So there's a spot, a flaw, a fracture, something within the stone that's immediately visible.
This is a good quality stone.
It's an absolute beautiful stone.
I have to tell you.
I'm quite blown away. I've also, hearing the spec now, I'm thinking Ren's been very generous on this one.
All right. So if you can work out the spec, the value of the diamond is 20,000 rand. And if you can work out based on these specs, the shape is a round brilliant cut. The size is 0.4 carat to 0.59 carat. The color is between I and L, and the clarity is between VBS2 and SI2. If you can work out the exact specs of the stone, you could be taking it away. How do you enter? You post an email, and they have limited it to 3 emails per person to admin@thediamondchannel.co.za. All right? That's admin@thediamondchannel.co.za, and they'd be only too happy to get your entries. Right, Ad?
Of course. That's great. Now we'll be looking forward to it. I'm excited to see what comes through.
Yeah, me too. All right, let's talk about watches. Last week, Jay, when Ron was here, we actually ended up talking about Rolex. Yes. And I was telling him, I love watching like forensics and things like that. And I saw a story of they had found in one of the harbors, they had found an arm. And the only identifying feature on this arm was a Rolex watch.
Yes.
They opened up the Rolex and inside, on the back, there was a registration number, and using that registration number, they were actually able to trace it back to the guy whose Rolex
catch
it was.
The killer.
And yeah, they ended up catching the killer.
Amazing!
It is incredible.
Absolutely amazing.
How a watch can save your life.
Absolutely, and also because of the sheer ingenuity and technicalities that go into making a watch like that. You know, if it was just a run of the mill type of thing, there wouldn't be any signs left on the watch, you know. But because Rolex is made with such
precision,
incredible
yeah.
quality, things like that last.
That's amazing. So, you know, I mean, that was just a kind of an incidental story. But
yeah.
Rolex has been used a lot in movies.
Yes.
So what sort of movies?
Well, Rolex is actually, they've established themselves as a brand extremely well. They've always seemed to know where to pick the right roles. I mean, if you think about James Bond, one of the world's
heroes. Yeah, he doesn't
wear
a Casio.
He doesn't wear a Casio.
Strange enough. Yeah.
He has actually changed over from the Rolex to the Omega.
Yes.
But initially, Sean Connery was wearing the Rolex Submariner. And that was
such a masculine watch. I
absolutely,
mean, I cannot imagine James Bond wearing anything else.
Yes, exactly. It fits his role. It fits the persona. It fits the espionage, you know, the high quality of the casing and the bracelets and the way it looks. It just all seems to be a part of James Bond, you know, which is quite incredible.
Yeah. Is it only James Bond where Rolex has been used in movies?
Rolex has actually been used in multiple amounts of movies, such as The Wolf of Wall Street.
Ah.
And to take it to a little bit of a darker side, American Psycho, Christian Bale.
Yes.
Sort of psychotic guy. He's actually wearing a Rolex Oyster Perpetual.
Really?
Yes.
So villains and heroes.
We're
Rolex.
Well, we did. I think we left the heroes once we changed from
from absolutely.
James Bond.
But if you have to watch like a lot of also business sort of movies written about markets and businesses and Wall Street and that sort of thing, like a movie called The Big Short with Mike Carroll, if I'm not mistaken. He's actually wearing a Rolex Oyster Perpetual Datejust. And these things aren't really things you'd notice until you started taking an interest in watches. You know, normally when movies start, you can see, oh, they've brought the brand new best Ferrari into the movie. They've brought the best Audi. But once you actually start looking into it, you can actually see it. Look at their wrists, and you might actually be surprised to find what impeccable timepieces they are wearing.
And yeah, indeed. I mean, if what was that movie about the black football player? I'm just trying to think what it was. It took most of the Oscars that year, and I can't even remember the actual storyline, but it was about this black football player, this young student, and he goes and he lives with his white family in the United States.
American football player.
Yes, it was American football player.
Yes, yes.
And the mother in the movie wore this white watch. And I can't think of what it was. I think it was a Gucci or it was one of those watches. And the next thing, every watch coming out of China was a white metal. Yeah. Do you remember this?
Yeah. I do actually remember that. And I actually watched that movie not too long ago.
So what was it called? Do you remember?
I have no
Maybe
idea.
Our listeners can help us. 34519, if you remember what it was. It took all the Oscars that year. I think it took about eight Oscars.
Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock was in it, and it was just a wonderful. It was such a feel-good movie.
It was.
Yeah, and he saves the kid, and it was just a wonderful movie. What are the movies?
Well, we can cross over sort of the dark side, The Dark Knight, Batman.
Ah, who wore it? The Joker.
Bruce Wayne.
You see, it's a male watch. It's like a proper alpha. It's an alpha watch.
Bruce Wayne was donning the Jaeger LeCoultre. They have their famous watch. It's the Reverso.
Oh.
And it's like a watch that flips over. So the original Batman wore it, Val Kilmer. And then when it became Christian Bale's turn to don the black mask and to become Bruce Wayne, they actually made a custom-made
bat watch.
So it's a bat insignia.
Batman wears Rolex. Could just be anything cooler.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sure that watch is on auction for a pretty penny.
Wow. Jeez, that's very interesting. I just did a quick Google of watches in movies. So did you ever see the movie While We're Young? It was apparently released in 2014. They used three Rolexes in that movie.
While we were young.
I don't know. The Hidden, The Da Vinci Code, 2006.
Oh, yes.
Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. He wore a Mickey Mouse watch.
You get a Mickey Mouse Rolex. So maybe it was the Mickey Mouse Rolex.
All right. But one of the guys from The Da Vinci Code, the actor is Jürgen Prochnow. He played the character of André Vernet. He wore a Rolex Daytona.
Fantastic. That's actually interesting. Yeah.
All right. There's a whole list. There's a whole list that you can actually go and check out. I'll actually tweet it.
Leonardo DiCaprio, when he was portraying the role of the Blood Diamonds in the movie Blood Diamond.
Yes.
When he came to South Africa and he put on that South African voice, he was actually wearing a Breitling. Which is quite interesting.
That's also
to
not
see.
Quite a male watch.
It's a very masculine watch, definitely. Yeah. Sort of, a lot of them come with the rubber straps, and you know they're very rugged and big faced.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And live in Sandton and never really leave. It's kind of like driving 4x4s.
Absolutely, and parking in parking lots. Yes.
What's quite a special piece, Kathy, that we can touch about as well is
your watch. You've got a very nice watch, and there's a whole story behind your watch as well.
Yeah, so we have touched on that one, that Breitling. It's a 1960 Navitimer that we did a full restoration on it that I fell in love with. But we got an extra special piece in recently, and it's really, really rare. I think probably the rarest watch we've had in since we've started. And it's a Steve McQueen Rolex.
Oh my gosh.
Jay.
We spoke about this last week with Ran. That is like incredibly. And you just got it?
Yeah.
That is amazing.
So that's an unbelievable piece. That's completely different, and it even looks different to a Rolex. We must show you some pictures, because there's a handful of models, am I right, Jay, that were made at that point in time.
Is the Steve McQueen the one with the white face and the three chronograph Or is it the one with the blue face?
So no, it's actually a black face.
Oh, it's a black face.
A black face, all steel bracelet, and it's actually got orange hands.
Oh, that was it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, so very, very different, and those are incredibly valuable, especially to collectors, obviously, and that ranges anywhere from what, about 200,000 to 600,000, that watch.
Absolutely.
Depends on spec, but it's incredible piece. Just, you can see the history in
the
piece.
So here's a question. If you're wearing a 200,000 or 600,000 rand watch on your arm, what car are you driving? Just asking.
Well, you know what the thing is? Maybe your preference is Korean and you just like Rolexes, so you don't know really. It could be anything.
Oh, Becky, thank you so much. Becky says, hi, Chai FM. I had dealings with Ran Lupo and his team at Gold Capital via your amazing radio program. They were so very professional and very friendly. Actually, I also found them very, very friendly. I was pleasantly surprised, and I would definitely recommend them. And that's from Becky. Becky, you're a honey for sending that through. Thank you so much. Isn't that nice?
Thank you, Becky. That's amazing. That's
nice
to hear.
Even though you're not, neither of you are from Gold Capital, yeah. Right? Adam, you're from the Diamond Channel. Jay's from the Watch Channel.
Yes.
But I can talk about watches the whole day. The whole day.
Yeah, myself as well. Just to add to that, did you know that Charlie Chaplin actually used to do all of his shows in an IWC watch?
What's an IWC watch?
It's the International Watch Company. It's actually started in
really?
America, but all the parts have been shipped from Switzerland.
Wow.
It's a very well-known company. Actually,
sorry.
No, not like in that way, but I mean, it's quite a revered company amongst people that collect watches and appreciate fine watchmaking.
If I was going to buy somebody a watch, and I wanted it to be, I don't know, maybe it's something for my children, that, you know, for a 21st birthday, you want to get your child a really nice watch that they will have for the rest of their lives, and it'll be something that they can pass on to their children. What would you recommend? I mean, would you go for a brand like a Patek Philippe, or would you go for something like a Rolex or a, you know, something that's a bit more robust?
Well, what do you think, Adam?
Well, you know, it's quite a tough one. It really is, you know, because it obviously depends what sort of range you're going to be shopping in. But ideally, it must be a luxury watch. So not a basic premium brand, and you don't want to go buy them like a top of the range Fossil or something like that, because then there's no real point to it. It's just going to depreciate over time.
And it will eventually break. It'll stop working.
More than likely.
Yeah.
So you've got to start, I'd say, at about your Tag Heuer level, and then you could pretty much go anywhere from there.
You can start saving when the child's little. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A few hundred rand every month, put aside, in addition to the unit trusts and all the other things that we do for our children. But it's I think that could be like a really, really amazing gift for 21st
definitely,
birthday.
Definitely. Like we've noticed on our side, on the pre-owned side, that your Rolexes always obtain the best value. You've got a small depreciation, obviously, on the initial purchase. You take the knock, and then it pretty much flatlines, and then starts to actually grow.
Over how many years?
It depends on model and so on, but I'd say to you, you're probably down, I'd say, in the first 4 or 5 years. Am I right about Jay?
Yeah.
And then pretty flat, and then it'll probably start going up in value. All depends on spec.
And is that including women's watches?
Of course.
I mean, are women's watches, Rolexes, valued at the same as a man's Rolex?
Your secondary market's always big on the gents' side. It just always is. So
gents have better watches.
That's normally the case. You know, women buy handbags and other things that they enjoy. But
you just said that.
Well, I've got three sisters and a wife obsessed with things, so I'm used to these things. I liked watches; they liked other things. So, yeah.
Okay, listen, I think it's still a nice, you know, you can't buy your daughter for her 21st, you know, a pair of Manolo Blahniks. Here you go, my dear. Go and make some footprints in the sand. It's not going to work.
Fair enough.
Get her
Fair
a
enough.
Nice watch. So, okay, can we get back to diamonds?
Absolutely.
All right. Is there anything you wanted to say about watches?
I'll jump in later if I need to, if that's okay.
Okay, good. Good.
Thank you.
Right, we've actually got to take some traffic, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk more about diamonds. Matthew, what do you have for us?
So, On your final Highways and Byways report for this morning, in Germiston on Rand Airport Road, traffic lights are not working there at Power Street. In Edenvale, this has just come through. On the R24 westbound, there's a crash near the Edenvale Road exit. This is causing queuing traffic over there. And traffic lights are still not working in Sandton at Vivonia Road and 5th Street, as well as Vivonia Road and West Street. There are pointsmen on duty at both of those intersections, but you can expect delays. And please, as always, drive with caution. If you see anything traffic-related that I'm not reporting, please SMS me on 34519 or WhatsApp 062-148-2374.
Thank you, Matthew. It is 10 to 9. Thank you so much, Nikki. Nikki says, who repairs expensive watches? She's heard that repairs can be very costly.
They can, absolutely.
So who's going to take it?
Well, it depends on what is wrong with the watch. In terms of repairing or changing out a quartz battery, you can do that at any jeweler. So that's not a problem, and they don't cost so much.
Including, wait, hold on a second.
Yes.
Rolex don't have batteries, right? It's perpetual motion.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. There are one or two limited,
it's my blonde showing.
Rolex Oyster Quartz models, but, they're very hard to find, and I don't think the majority of people who own a Rolex will probably not have one. So any watches that have quartz function, that's quite easy. It just takes literally an hour or so to replace the battery, and it's fairly inexpensive. However, if there's something wrong with the mechanism, that might be a bit of a...
But here's the thing. If it's a vintage watch, yes, it doesn't lose its value even if it doesn't work. Isn't that true? No.
Yes.
See, the look he's giving it. He's giving me right.
Some of the things that happen is, like Rolex, for instance, if you have a mechanism that is older than 30 years,
yes,
when you take it into Rolex, because sometimes you may actually have to need to book it in with Rolex itself, they will remove those old parts and put the new Rolex mechanism in, which actually takes away from the vintage buyers. You know, the amount that he would have, the value that he would have on that watch, because now it's sort of a hybrid. It's not the original Rolex with the original, you know, 1986 movement and caliber. So that's where it gets a little bit tricky.
Okay. But you know what? I think that that's why it's important that there is, you know, like the Watch Channel and, you know, Gold Capital, where people can take and they can actually get advice. I think that that's important, because if you're going to make those repairs, it's like making alterations to your house. You want to make sure that it's something that's going to increase the value of your house and your investment.
Exactly.
Yeah, so don't go and polish any old coins, right? Okay, Adam, back to you. We've spoken about these diamonds. I think that... I mean, we spoke about, like, the different pricing of diamonds.
Yes.
We spoke about the different, what was it? Was clarity, size?
So you can remember it always as the four C's, essentially.
Oh.
Okay, so it's your cut, your color, your clarity, and your carat. Carat's obviously your weight. And then obviously shape's going to play a role. So we touched on that a little bit as well. But more important, in my opinion, than what you buy is how you give it.
Yeah, I've just been handed a box. I have to take a photo and actually tweet it.
Now, that you can have that one, Kathy. I
really?
Brought that one for you, yeah. So
okay,
that's
but,
perfect.
But you've left out the ring.
I know, that I'm sorry.
<Adam.
laughs> My wife would have been angry.
Who gives an empty box? It is a very nice box, though. So this is actually a box. It's got a ring on. It's got a very nice kind of soft touch on the outside. And you open it up, and there is this LED light that would highlight the ring sitting. It's absolutely beautiful. Okay, but we're going to have to find something to put inside so I can take a photo and tweet it.
Definitely. No, thank you so much. So, because I always meet the male party, and they come in and they want a ring and so on, and we go through the whole design process and we make bespoke jewelry, whatever he wants, however he wants it, adds the custom twist and the whole story. And 2 to 3 weeks later, he's got his beautiful ring. And, always, when I meet the second half, they always say to me, oh, you, Adam, I've heard so much about you. Oh, my word, the box. And you know, that always comes
this
up.
Really,
because
it's amazing.
It's such a special moment. And then to lift it that much, that makes it unforgettable for her. And that's the point. You know, it isn't just giving it in a drive through or something, here's your ring, let's get married sort of thing.
So what are the most romantic, I don't know, proposals that you've come across, because you obviously deal with a lot of people at the Diamond Channel who are buying diamonds for spouses.
Spouses. There's been literally so many, you know, from proposals overseas to on the Eiffel Tower to in the beach to getting their, you know, if they've got previous kids from other marriages, whatever the case is, getting them involved, which is always sweet, you know,
lovely.
With signs. And I had one client who actually, well, they went skydiving, and when they came down, he had got the whole field, all their friends and family, and they must have had about 70 people. He was sending me pictures, and they'd set up exactly like in the soccer stadiums with all – they all had like little pink squares above their heads, and then half of them turned them over, and it said, will you marry me, as they were coming down.
That's so
like
wonderful.
Amazing things
and
like
love
that.
I love these stories.
Yeah,
we've got
beautiful.
Some listener questions that we need to get to. Okay, this is back to watches. Thank you very much. Unsigned says, have you seen the new Raymond Will Beatles collection watch? Jay, I'm going to put that one to you.
Beatles collection?
Yeah.
I'm going to go and look at it directly after this interview.
Yeah. That sounds amazing. Take four. Have you any sets of matching his and hers watches, example, for an anniversary?
Of course.
Oh, that's a lovely idea.
That is beautiful. And you know what? You don't actually need a set. If that makes sense. You know, you don't need an exact. You can always actually make up, so you can still see it's a his and hers, which is also a beautiful adjustment, because similar models all have a similar look. So then you can just choose white faces and so on. You aren't set to, you know, this watch only comes in a set.
Yeah.
So you can actually mix and match, but definitely we've got a bit of everything.
That's so wonderful and so significant. You know, time is such a part of our lives, and, you know, we keep the time. We do everything according to time. So, I mean, it makes sense to give somebody a watch, you know, for an anniversary, for, you know, marking a rite of passage. I think it's, you couldn't get a better gift. Listen, guys, thank you very, very much. I'm looking at the time. We're out of time. But hopefully you won't stay away too long. Maybe come back next week or maybe the week after.
Hopefully so.
Thanks for having us.
No, it's been amazing.
Thank you very, very much. That's, Adam and Jay from, Adam is from the Diamond Channel. Jay is from the Watch Channel. So if you want to get in touch with them, you want to find out more about watches, more about diamonds, I'll actually post links on our social media to the Diamond Channel, which is actually thediamondchannel.co.za, or the Watch Channel. .co.za. Go and check it out, and go and also enter this competition. I'm going to give you the clues once again. The shape of this 20,000 rand diamond that you could win if you can get the specs right. It is a round, brilliant cut. The size is 0.4 carats to 0.59 carats. The color is between I and L, and the clarity is between VVS2 and SI2. So if you can get the correct specs, you could be taking away that 20,000 rand diamond. I love this. And, I'm even going to save the box so that you can have it in the box, because this is a very fancy box. As you open it up, this LED light, and can hear the angels and the harps when you open it. Listen.
That's the point. It's a no prevention like that. Just in case.
Listen, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you very, very much. And, try and bring, run next week as well.
We'll do. We'll drag him along.
Gold capital.